So as I was thinking, how would our next senior pastor be when we look for another leader? So I jot down some requirement, and I think our next leader would be a confident leader, strong leader, tough, authoritative. I mean, that's how we look for leaders, right? Prime ministers, presidents, and fearless and determination, and need to have goal setting. Our church is very always very in spend a lot of time on goal setting, and knows how to build a team and get things done. That's very important in our church. It has to be efficient, and everything has to be done in an orderly fashion. With lots of meetings and planning committees, and also looks after the interests of the team, and has clear priorities. So a leader of the church has to have a good use of the resources, and speaks nothing but the truth. So I jot down all these criteria for our next senior pastor. So and guess who came to my mind? Pastor Trump. So he is the guy who would have all these qualities, isn't it? Right? Confidence, tough, authoritative, fearless, determination, goal setting, knows how to build a team and also dismantle a team, get things done and looks after the interests of the team, after himself first, of course, clear priorities and good use of resources. And so so next time we look for a senior pastor, then we may give him some thought. But he may be running the USA for a long time. But we don't know. The way it's going, we don't know. I'm sure that President Trump is not running for elders this year at our church. But we are having an elders election next month. And next week, we have some elder candidates from first time from all three congregations. It's the first time in the history of CNMA, VCAC, that we have a candidate from the Mandarin congregation. So please come next week to hear what they have to share. And today I'm going to speak on 1 Timothy 3, which we are already familiar with this passage. It's about elders. It's about the qualification of elders. The qualification of elder is actually same as pastor. So elders and pastors is the same requirement. So don't expect anything more from a pastor than you expect from an elder. but expect everything from an elder. Expect everything from a pastor, also from an elder. But then you may ask, you know, I have no intention. I have absolutely no intention in my life to be an elder. I'm sure a lot of you will echo that. I don't want to go to those elder board meetings that never ends anyway. I don't want to be an elder. So why am I sitting here and listening? So today my topic is not elders' qualifications. Today my topic is spiritual leadership. Even though this passage is about the qualification of being an elder, but really, we should all strive to develop these characters. We should all learn and strive to be a spiritual leader of some sort. Maybe we'll be a deacon or a leader of a fellowship, a leader of the worship team, leader of a small group, even leading of a small, two or three people, a Bible study group. So all of us will one day, or right now, as a leader of some sort. So the requirement here is really for spiritual leaders. And I hope that all of us can be a leader, in some, ministry, in some capacity. So this passage is not just for the elder candidates. Otherwise, all of you will leave right away and only leave a few people here. But it's really for all of us, passage. All of us, we are all learning and strive to be a spiritual leader. And there's a difference between, as I list out all the qualities of a, what I just did is the qualities of a world leader. So we came up with Pastor Trump. But there's a big difference between a spiritual leader and a secular leader. And I got this from Oswald Sanders' book, Spiritual Leadership. It's my favorite book. If you want to read it, you can come to my office. I'll lend you my copy. I have Chinese and English. A natural leader, a world leader, is one who has self-confidence, knows men, makes own decisions. A spiritual leader, the confidence is in God. He knows man, but also knows God. He makes his own decision, but he seeks after God's will first. A natural leader, a world leader, is ambitious, but a spiritual leader is humble. A natural leader creates methods, but we follow God's example. A natural leader enjoys commanding people, but a spiritual leader delights in obeying God and following Him. A natural leader seeks personal reward. A spiritual leader loves God and others. A natural leader is independent on himself, makes his own decision, but a spiritual leader depends solely on God. There's a big difference between a world leader and a spiritual leader. And in church today, God is looking for spiritual leaders. When people came to Jesus, and asked him, if I can sit next to you, and Jesus said, you don't really understand, what you are asking. And Jesus said, it's not so among you, but whoever has a desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. And the two followers of Christ came and asked Jesus if they can sit to the right and to the left of Jesus. They're thinking that being a leader is an ambitious role. It's a powerful role. It's like world leaders. And Jesus said that you totally misunderstood. To be a leader is to be a servant. And the words that I just passed, First Timothy 3, here's a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. We want to be leaders in the church, but what's more important, we need to have the desire for the noble task. It's the work that we have the desire to, not the position. So the disciples of Jesus missed the point. So when they come to Jesus, they ask if I can be the leader of your kingdom. If I can be at your right and at your left, and sit at your right and sit at your left. And Jesus said that to be a leader, actually, you are a servant. The higher you are, actually, the more feet you have to wash. And in the world, when we think of leader, we want to be standing up here. So the pastors are obviously leaders. We want people down there cheering us up, listening to us, following us. But Jesus said, that's not the kind of leader I'm talking about. A leader is to be a humble servant. And if you're a small group leader, so you wash 10 feet, you know, 5 people, 2 times 5 is 10 feet. So you wash 10 feet. So if you are leading a fellowship, so you have 30 people, then you have 60 feet to wash. So being a senior pastor, then I have over 1,000 feet to wash. So that's why senior pastor very busy washing feet. Right? So as a leader, you wash people's feet. You are a humble servant. So Jesus said that you don't understand. It's not good enough just to have a desire for that position. You need to have the desire for the noble work. And the work is not easy. And it requires humility. And Jesus continued to say that, you will take of the cup from which I take, and the baptism which I am about to undergo, you will undergo. So to be a leader, you have to follow me and learn of my example. The leader is not just someone in a high position. That's a sacrifice. Are you willing to drink this cup and suffer for my sake and even die on the cross and drink and take this baptism? So Jesus here taught their disciples to be a leader in God's kingdom is to be a servant, to sacrifice, to humble yourself. And leaders are not elected. Jesus said that, but to be seated at my right hand or at my left is not for me to give, but it is for those for whom it has been made ready. It is really God who's doing the election here, in our elders' election, through us. So that's why it's so important that we have to pray to God, because the leaders are not really picked by us. It's really elected by God. And Oswald Sanders says, spiritual leaders are not elected, appointed, or created by synods or church assemblies. God alone makes them. Church leaders, elders, pastors, deacons, even your fellowship leaders should be picked by God. So that's why we need so much, we emphasize so much that we have to pray and rely not only on our wisdom. We have to pray to God, and God will guide us, and God will tell us when we have a fellowship election, when we're choosing leaders for our Cornels, Clay, the other fellowships. We have to pray to God, because it's really God who appoint the leaders in the church. Through us, of course. I mean, God is not going to drop someone from the roof and here's your new pastor, your new deacons. God selects the leaders through us. So we are a vessel that God is using. But we have to trust God, we have to rely on God, we have to seek after God's will when we pick elders, leaders, not just elders, leaders. So this morning, I'm not talking about just elders election. I'm talking about leaders, spiritual leaders in the church. First Timothy 3, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Now Paul in 1 Timothy 3 here is listing out the requirement, qualifications, spiritual qualification for a bishop. Overseer is actually can be translated as bishops or an elder or pastor. If you read through Timothy 3, you will find that nowhere Paul mentioned that the elder, the leader, has to be a good manager, good in organizing events, good in planning meetings, a strong leader. Nothing, none of those qualities that I first mentioned, confidence, tough, authoritative, goal setting, get things done, clear priorities. None of those. If we look at all the requirements here in 1 Timothy, it's all about spiritual characters. When we look for leaders in any level in our community, in God's kingdom, we look for men or women with spiritual qualities. And that's what God looks in a person. Not our abilities, talents, but our spiritual quality. The bishop or the elder or spiritual leader, right? I'm going to stop using the, the term overseer here. Otherwise, you all think about Elder Danny, Elder Ezra. Think of yourself, spiritual leaders. Now, the spiritual leaders to be above reproach. Faithful to his wife. So, it's very important that you need to have a harmonious marriage. The faithful to your wife. And temperate, self-control. And someone who doesn't always argue with people. Well, there are times you have to argue for our truth. But not people who always trying to pick a fight. But people who are peaceful, temperate, and self-control, can control oneself. A scholar and a gentleman, I think I can think of. And someone who's respectable. That among us, that we would highly respect the person. Hospitable. So it's all about a personal, spiritual characters. And how he can love his wife, a faithful husband, and how he can work with people in an orderly fashion, do things in an orderly fashion, compose, and hospitable. And in those days, they don't have Airbnb. So a lot of the church workers, when they travel, they have to rely on the other Christians to accommodate them, to take care of them. So that's why Paul here said that to be a spiritual leader, you have to be hospitable to look after the other Christian workers and able to teach. So all spiritual leaders should know God's word well. So we should almost make that as a requirement when we pick for a fellowship leader, a small group leader, deacons, that they have to know God's word well. So they are not just leading the people by his skills, by what he learned from the workplace, his management skill. He's leading the people by God's words. Able to teach. So that means he has to know God's word so well that he can be a Bible teacher. So if we follow this, so all the elders should be a Sunday school teacher. Right? Well, all the pastors are Sunday school teachers. So it's very important that as a leader, not just his charisma that we're looking for. We're looking for someone who's deeply rooted in God's words. And this is all personal characters that Paul here is listing out. Nowhere he mentioned that the individual has to be a good manager, authoritative, strong, tough, has stammer. No, but has strong personal spiritual character. And these are the positive characters Paul is listing here. But also, Paul also mentioned that we have to be careful as a leader. We do not have negative impacts to our brothers and sisters. So Paul mentioned other characters a spiritual leader should have. Let me skip this here. Okay. Paul is mentioning about other characters we are to make sure that our leaders don't have drunkenness, violence, quarrelsome, love of money. Because Paul is trying to say that there are the negative, that we could have negative impacts in our ministry. And I call it the weapon of mass destruction. We heard this term in the last decade very often when the U.S. tried to invade Iraq. President Bush at that time keeps saying that, you know, the Iraq has weapon of mass destruction. We hear this every day in the radio, in news. Weapon of mass destruction, right? Which is the biological, chemical, nuclear weapons. But today, I think, you know, the weapon of mass destruction is YouTube, Facebook, and all these, media that we spend a lot of time, and myself, I have to try and stay away from YouTube. There's so many things to see and to learn. I mean, I learn things on YouTube as well. Right? But all these sometimes become a weapon of mass destruction. It affects our spiritual life. But Paul here is talking about a weapon of mass destruction as well. If you come to the church drunk, I'm sure I haven't met anyone in all my years in church that someone came to church drunk. But we could be addicted to other drugs, maybe too much internet. that could be an addiction that's affecting us. So in those days, it's wine, drunkenness and wine. But today, it could be other kind of addiction. So as a leader, we cannot be controlled by addictions. We cannot be violent. Well, so far we never fight in the board meeting. So, if you hear any rumor about that, no, we don't fight. We're very peaceful, harmonious. It's just long, right? But we never start any fight. So, we are a very good team in the board meeting. So Paul is saying that, if you're a violent person, quarrelsome, people always picking a fight and always arguing for nothing, love for money. So these are the negative characters as a spiritual leader we should avoid. So Paul talked about the positive and the negative. But again, all this, Paul is talking about spiritual characters, moral standards, which is more important than other skills that we very often base our criteria of a leader on. And Paul moved on to talk about a family. As a spiritual leader, we need to be able to look after our family, manage our family. So he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Which is very true, isn't it? So Paul continued to set out the criteria here for a church leader. You need to be able to manage yourself well, according to God's teaching, live a spiritual life, a peaceful life, a life that deserves respect from others, and your family life, which people may not be able to see all of it. We have to manage our family well and have be able to manage our children, discipline our children. And also in the outside the church, Paul also lists out the requirement as a spiritual leader. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. I think it's another one. So as church leaders, one should be tested. So I personally think that an elder should be a little bit older because to be a new convert, you know, should not be a church leader. I'm not saying that you cannot be a small group leader, fellowship leader, but as a church leader, I'm going back to as an elder, as a overseer, a bishop of the church, as a pastor. If a youth pastor, you cannot be too old like me, right? So that's an exception. Let me clarify that, otherwise, but as a church elder, you should not be too young, right? Because you need the life experience. So a recent convert should not be an elder in this case. Now, but how old is old enough? I mean, Paul did not define here. But I remember that when the Alliance Church changed from we used to have a deacon's board, so we used to have deacons. And then we have two elders, BCAC here, the two elders, they're really old. They're like, you know, 60, 70 years old. So we have two elders at the Night Alliance here. And then we have a deacon spot. Then in the early 80s, then when CNMA changed from the board of deacons to board of elders, then we start basically changing all the deacons to elders. So I was elected as the elders, for probably the first elders board when we make this change. So people are not really comfortable with a really young elder like myself. I mean, let's imagine myself 30 years ago. I look really young, like one of these, like Tim here, right? Because we used to have old elders that are really old. So people are not really accustomed to having this young, you know, young elder. So I was invited to speak at one of the church in, Victoria. So it's a long way, so I did not drive, so I decided to, take a bus there. I don't know anybody from the church. So I call up, I know one guy, well, the deacon there who invited me, and I said, can you pick me up at the bus depot? And I'm going to take a Greyhound bus, to there. So I carry a small, bag and then, took a bus to, Victoria on bus, to Victoria. And then I was there a little bit early, so I waited inside the bus depot. And then I waited, and then I saw a car came by really quickly and stopped outside the depot, and then a young fellow jumped out of the car, and then rushed in, and then the driver just took off to find parking. So he came into the bus depot. I thought, oh, maybe it's the guy who picked me up. He looked at me and then up and down and looked at mine, and then he stood there and waited. So after a few minutes, and then the driver of the car came in. Oh, he's my friend. So he came in and then he talked to the young guy. Our speaker's here, and hurry up and carry his luggage and let's get going. And then the young guy looked at me, you know, with this puzzle in his eyes. So where's Elder Norman? So I said, well, Elder Norman cannot come. I'm his son. I said, oh, okay. Okay. So we should not have elder that look too young, I guess. So Paul has a point here. As an elder, we need to have some life experience. But I'm not trying to put down the CNMA elder system. But here Paul's teaching that an elder or spiritual leader should have a good name in the community. And then people will have will respect him, and so that when people meet you and they say, even the non-Christians, even your workers, when they talk to you and they say, so you go to church, then they see a difference in you, even though they do not go to, they don't come to our church, So Paul here is saying that we need to have a good personal spiritual character. We need to manage our family well, and we need to be respected outside the church in our workplace. We need to be a good brand name, right? Like good brand name, and people talk, and everybody at work know that I'm a Christian for years. I never try to hide that. So once a while they make fun of me, and sometimes when we in meetings, we have to plan things, and then we have different opinions, and I said that no, we should do this way, and then they said that they should do that way. So sometimes they make fun of me, said, well, I think we should go with Norman's way because God is on his side. I said, you better be right. So in all aspects of our life, we have to be a witness for God. And Paul continued to move on to say that in the same way, deacons, leaders are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested. Actually, the requirement for being a deacon is not much, not any less than from an elder. Actually, it's more, and I continue to read, at least for sisters. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect. Women, this word is not clear whether Paul is Paul means women deacons here, or wife of deacons, or women leaders. It's not clear. So if you look at different translations, they translate this word differently. But the original word is women. The women, but let's not to argue with that here, but let's assume that that's the women leaders, right? The women leaders are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Here Paul adds one thing about our words in the church. Not malicious talkers. In church here, the biggest weapon of destruction is probably our words, especially negative words, cursings. That is actually a weapon of mass destruction in the church. So Paul specifically, I don't know why he mentioned women here. I think it applies to men as well. But maybe women is better at this than men. But I think we have to remind ourselves, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. So as church leaders, in any level, any capacity, there's one weapon of destruction that we have to be careful. It's our words. Our words of cursing or our words of praising. It makes a big difference. And our ministry very often suffers, if we don't control our tongues carefully. So Paul said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We only bless people. Because who are we to curse our brothers and sisters? Who are we to curse people? Are human beings that are created in the image of God. So as a leader, spiritual leader, in any capacity, one of the important spiritual characters we have to develop is not to curse our brothers and sisters, but only to bless them, to say good things. It's easier to say good things about them. And sometimes people come to me and ask me, you know, Pastor Norman, I want to tell you some secrets about so-and-so doing some bad things. Please stop. Please stay away from me. I'm not interested. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Don't even whisper behind me. I don't want to know. Just tell me good things. I only want to hear good things about other people. So in the church, I'm sure if we want to, we can find bad things about anybody. But let's try to appreciate others, appreciate brothers and sisters. I'm sure there's one thing you can find good in the one sitting next to you, the one sitting behind you. So Paul said that in Chinese even better. No? Do not curse, only give blessings. It's so hard to be a spiritual leader. I don't want to be one. It's so demanding. It's just so high standard. I don't think any of us, you know, including myself, can reach this goal. But why are we doing this? Oswald Sander is my favorite book, Spiritual Leadership. There's no such thing as a self-made spiritual leader. A true leader influences others spiritually only because the Spirit works in and through him to a greater degree than in those he leads. It's only through our spiritual life, because only through our spiritual life, we can lead people and help people to grow in God. God doesn't need business managers here to manage people, to set up programs, to build up more portfolios or ministries, to organize things, to write more manuals, handbooks. Don't get me wrong, we need all those to govern the church. But above all of this, the most important, as a spiritual leader, at any level, as a spiritual leader, we are here to bring people to God, isn't it? We are here to bring people to God. And we can only bring people to God if our spiritual life is stronger than the ones that we are leading. Because they are learning from our spiritual life. But they also learn all from our weapon of destructions as well. They also learn from our negative characters. But above all, it's most important that we are trying to bring up people close, bring people closer to God. We are trying to help people to grow spiritually. And we can only do that if our spiritual life is stronger than theirs. It's almost like a battery. You can only power the other battery if you have a high voltage. It's like jumping a car. If the other car has a dead battery, and your car's battery even has a lower amperage, you cannot jump start the other car, isn't it? It's only when your car battery is more powerful than the car battery that you're trying to jump, that you can influence that person. And it's only when we have this spiritual life that we can influence others and help them to grow. And why are we doing all this? Why aren't there better things for us to do? We are doing all this because we are serving a living God. We are serving the living God, you know, the church of the living God. We are serving in this church. We are not serving an organization. We are not serving, I know that every morning Pastor Wu said that, no, good morning church. I feel a bit uncomfortable with that. It's more than a church building, a congregation. We are serving people here. We're serving the living God. We're serving the church of the living God. That's why it deserves our sacrifice. And to be a spiritual leader, trust me, you have to sacrifice a lot. The higher the position, you have to sacrifice more. And why are we sacrificing all our time, energy, and all our effort to be a church leaders, it's a small group fellowship, because we are not serving this building. We are not serving this organization. We are serving the living God. It's only when you realize that you are serving God, then you see that it is worth your life to do it, that you are changing people's life for God's sake. And God looks for humble servants. I read this while I was preparing this sermon, and it took me a while to understand and appreciate this. This is from my favorite theologian, Tozer. A true and safe leader is likely to be one who has no desire to lead. Oh, I can echo that. But is forced into a position of leadership by the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit and the press of the external situation. Such were Moses and David and the Old Testament prophets. Wow, how interesting this. So if next time someone asks you to be a deacon, to be a fellowship leader, and you don't want to be, maybe this is, God is trying to tell you something. A true leader will have no desire to lord it over God's heritage, but will be humble, gentle, self-sacrificing, and altogether as ready to follow as to lead when the Spirit makes it clear that a wiser and more gifted man than himself has appeared. Francis Assisi is famous for his humility, humbleness, and the serving of the poor. There was a saying that he actually preached to the birds, to the animals, and he's a naturalist, the founder of the Franciscan movement, and he lived a very poor, he lived in poverty by choice. He served the poor. He's a priest in the 11th century. And he's a, from what I read, is not a big guy. He's not a strong guy. He's actually very weak and skinny. So one day one of his followers, Brother Matthew, came to him and asked him and said that, "There's one thing I don't understand." And then Francis said, "What do you don't understand?" I said that, "I don't understand why everybody is following you. And you are not good looking, you are not strong, not big, and you are not educated. You did not come from a royal family. I don't understand why everybody is following you." And then Francis heard this, and then he was very happy. And then he knelt down, and then he prayed. After his prayers, and then he got up, and then he was very excited. And then he went and talked to Brother Matthew, said that, "I just gave thanks to God. And I just thank God, because when God looked down from heaven and he looked at all the people, he could not find a weaker people person than myself. And he cannot find another more useless people than me. And he cannot find another sinner that's as sinful as me. So that's why he picked me. And I thank God for that. And God did not pick the strong, the educated, the powerful, the good-looking, and so that God can have all the glory." So he wrote this very famous poem or saying. So when there is hatred, so as a leader, when there's hatred, let's show love. When there is injury, as a leader, we have to pardon. And when there's doubt, we have leaders, we have to install faith in others. When there's despair, we have to encourage, give people hope. When there's darkness, we are the light as the leader. When there's sadness, as a leader, we bring joy to others. When people need to be comforted, we are the comforter. When people need to be understood, we will understand. When there's love, when people need love, we give them love. For it is giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And as a leader, we bring hope and light to others, and not the other way around. So let's pray to God and ask God to make us, help us to all grow to be, you may not be an elder one day, but you will be a spiritual leader in some capacity. And we all, every one of us, Paul's teaching here applies to all of us. It's God who picked us, not people.
We're going to close in benediction. Now, as the song say, "I will follow you," are we all followers of Christ? Yes, we are. So I want to give this invitation. That's what Pastor Norman had said. Do we want to be spiritual leaders? God call us, every one of us that are believers of Christ. He calls us to get out of our comfort zone. He calls us to follow Him. He calls us to wash each other's feet. He calls us to put our confidence in Him, not in ourselves. He calls us to follow His example. He calls us to be humble. He calls us to look upon Him. He is our focus. So if you want Him to flow in you, His Spirit to come inside you, to equip you, to empower you, if you are not afraid, raise up your hand as I close in benediction. Do not be afraid. Raise up your hand to receive what the Lord has to say to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message through the words of Pastor Norman's mouth. You've called us, all of us, to step out of our comfort zone. You call us to be leaders in this body of Christ, in this church. You call us to go out and lead someone comfort someone, encourage someone, speak the words of truth, speaks the word of life to another person, and help someone, our brothers and sisters who are weak, to be able to raise them up and to come and follow you. Lord, as a church, we ask that you equip us, you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we can be your leaders. We can have your empowerment. We can be that person to make an impact in somebody else's life. Flow in us, Holy Spirit. Give us the confidence that comes only from you. When we are filled, raise us up again. Give us the word, right words to say. Help us to be that body to the hurting world. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ that died and rose again. I pray this in the name of God that so sent his Son that loved the world. I pray in the name of the Holy Spirit that indwell in all of us. I pray this in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen.